So we're speaking with Liz Hilton from Empower, a sex workers' rights organization in Thailand. Liz, welcome to the show. You can just introduce yourself and tell us about Empower and how you came about and what kind of work you're doing with Empower right now.
Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon, I don't know. As Robin said, my name's Liz, and I work with the Thai sex worker organization Empower. Empower's been working for sex worker rights in Thailand for about 27 years, so it's a little bit harder to sum up very quickly what Empower does. But we basically offer access to education. We lobby for decriminalization and labor rights for sex workers. And we also become a community for sex workers. Because everybody migrates to do sex work and everyone works for the night, not the daytime, it means that people are cut off from mainstream society and mainstream communities a lot of the time. So we can become a place to celebrate birthdays, weddings, whatever, and a place to come with your broken heart or your lottery win or whatever. So it's very much a family organization, very large family, but family organization. Because it's a Thai organization, I do a lot of the English support, so talking to people like you guys in Montreal, or doing a lot of the written English advocacy or reporting. And also being naughty and having fun, basically.
One notable thing about Empower is that it's not anti-sex work and it's not trying to convince women to leave the trade. And you also have an interesting take on trafficking. Could you talk a little bit about Empower's take on anti-trafficking and how that plays out in a Thai context?
Yeah, I mean, like Empower is managed and run by sex workers. And for hundreds and hundreds of years, sex workers have moved, for women have moved from Burma, Laos, Cambodia, Thailand, along normal routes to look for work and to improve people's lives. Then in about 2000, I think the year 2001, George Bush suddenly got very upset about the crossing of borders, and borders started to tighten up, and we started to hear this word called trafficking. Before that, in Thailand, if people talked about the traffic, they just meant the bad traffic in Bangkok. But suddenly it meant the moving of women. Excuse me. So for us, what we've seen is actually anti-trafficking in terms of people that are talking about specific trafficking to one occupation of sex work is actually the old anti-sex work. It's the old abolitionist crowd dressed up in a new dress with a new name. So it's not about finding ways that women can migrate for work safely and independently. It's about stopping women moving, especially stopping women moving into the sex industry. And so they're in direct opposition to what sex workers want and need in their lives. So here, we don't see it anymore so much now. Maybe after someone will listen, we'll see it. But we saw our friends and our members getting rescued when they didn't need to be and deported back to Burma and held in detention and all kinds of things. When we see that there's men and boys being trafficked into the seafarer and fishing industry, but nobody's really interested in those guys or any other occupation. It's about stopping sex work, really.
So I'm going to ask you next if you could talk a little bit more about the risks of conflating sex work and trafficking as the same thing. I'm thinking very specifically, actually, about the raids that took place in Chiang Mai in 2003, the raid and rescue that was done in the name of saving women. Could you give a bit of background of what that was and what that looked like?
Yeah, I think like the situation in 2003, that's already like 7 years ago now, man, so we've got over it. But what happened, it wasn't the first raid of its kind, and it probably isn't the last. What happened was an American-based organization, International Justice Mission, who called themselves Cops for Christ. Yeah? They informed to the Thai police that there were women, or actually minors, now under the age of 18, being held against their will in a brothel in Chiang Mai. And the information that they gave was incorrect. All the women were over the age of 18, and there was no one being held against their will. There was a group of migrant women doing sex work, earning their money, and the police raided the place, and women were locked up in detention, one for 18 months, and the rest were deported back to Burma. The risk when people mix up trafficking and sex work together is that sex workers will never get their rights while ever they're seen as victims. Because victims only have one place in society, and that's in some kind of cage. So I think there's a risk that women, their rights get abused within the rage themselves, but then for the whole movement, it stops the whole movement, because how can you support trafficking? You can't, but you can support sex work.
Could you talk a little more about what it looks like for Empower's work in supporting non-status sex workers? Like, does that mean fighting deportation? Does that have anything to do with your language schools? Like, I guess just I'm wondering how you guys support sort of non-status sex workers from your organization.
When Empower first opened in Chiang Mai in 1991, the first two women to come to Empower, the first two sex workers, one was from Burma and one was from Thailand. So we began from the very, very beginning having women without travel documents and without documentation as the core members of Empower. What women want most is they want to be able to work and live in Thailand without the threat of arrest and without exploitation because of their status. So some of that is language, so they learn Thai literacy with us. Some of it is like knowing. It's not knowing your rights. Everyone knows your rights. But being really confident in those rights, that they're not linked to whether your legal document is or not, that your right is your right wherever you are. And like I was saying before, and just being in community together as well. Because then women just share between each other how to do things, how to avoid this policeman or that road check, or having a space to do to discuss those things is also very important. On advocacy level, we in Thailand, they have a system of registering migrant workers, even like however they come into the country. But of course, sex workers aren't included in that. So we do a lot of advocacy around the fact that Thai sex workers are quite happy that there's migrant sex workers here. There's enough customers for everyone. And can they actually find, have legal permission to work in Thailand?
Yeah, I also noticed that one of the things on Empower's website is that it is sex workers who are in a large part driving the Thai economy. Do you feel like you have any barriers in trying to like argue that to the larger public?
The sex workers, they provide about 7% of the GDP for Thailand through tourism, no? The findings of how much money is provided by the sex workers, that come from a government report and survey themselves. So it's an unquestionable fact that that's where the money comes from in Thailand. So people are really happy to accept the money. They're not really. They're just not willing to accept the women that provide it, and to give those women the same protection and benefits as other workers. It's not unusual now for sex workers to have a customer that loves you in the nighttime and doesn't know you in the daytime. And I think that's like Thai society as well. Now they love the money, but not don't know about it in the daytime.
So my last question is, what do you advocate for there to be justice for migrant sex workers in Thailand?
What do we advocate for the migrant sex workers? Same as non-migrant sex workers. They need decriminalized work in safer workplaces, According to the Thai labor law and Thai social security law, yeah, strange.
Okay, thanks a lot.